Yoin.
And a podcast.
Torch. You know what doesn't happen anymore?
What?
People dying.
Wanna bet?
Bum, bum, bum. Oh, no, it's marked.
Hold on, I gotta talk about that guy. If that guy is in the villain conspiracy, and that guy probably knew what was about to happen with the deaths. Oh, the guy probably didn't know it though. That scene is fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, keep going. Go back to what you were saying.
I was saying that it's instead of being like doom 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 doom, doom it's doom 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 doom. Because you know it's very kind of thing. It's Miracle Day, Happy Miracle Day.
They don't do the
they're an American.
Can you please play it so it doesn't sound like I'm insane? What I'm talking, you know what I'm talking about, yeah.
Miracle Day. As always, we are here to you know what we're doing, actually, is we're saying goodbye to Torchwood soon. This is the start of the end. And I actually am kind of emotional. I have found myself just being like, it feels weird to be finishing one of like the kind of pillars of our thing so far, you know, to be
right.
Like, we're done with.
Well, it's sort of like, you know, This is the last gasp of a time when they were like, we're gonna do like 15 spinoffs, and now they're doing it again. So I don't know. Do you think in 5 years we'll be watching like the War Between the Land and the Sea series 4?
Mm-hmm.
Getting so sad. Oh yeah.
Like Crackle Chicken Soup for the Soul. And it'll star like
the first episode. Yeah, the first episode. I gotta go to the seas of America.
Mm-hmm. Where they run into I don't know. I'm trying to think of someone who's at the level of like Bill Pullman.
Bill Pullman. He's back.
No, because Lewis Pullman.
It's him again.
we'll get to Bill Pullman. Bill Pullman. I have to talk so much about Bill Pullman because God. But before I get, I want to talk about like the genesis of this. So, after the end of time, obviously, when Russell hands off control, you know, he takes a step back. I'm pretty sure it's in the writer's tale. Talks about like how he's moving to America with, you know, with Julie Gardner and all them. And while he's over there, he tries to sell a continuation of Torchwood, you know. And here's like the thing with this, like there's always like so many things where the the behind the scenes stuff is like well documented because you know you'll have like oral histories and stuff, but this is one where like no one seems to really have cared enough to talk about it, you know, like there's the
it's a non-existent part of.
Yeah.
It feels very pointed that Moffat started off his tenure being like, let's explain why nobody remembers aliens. And I'm pretty sure no one has tried to address why no one talks about that period in time when nobody in on Earth was dying. Like, I don't know. I don't think there's gonna be a season of a 14 episode where I don't know whatever the hell made this shows up again, and the Doctor's like, right, this. Oh, forgot to clear. Forgot to wrap up this loose knot.
Of course, Wayne Knight. Hello.
Wayne Knight, of course, FBI Chief Wayne Knight, the most trustworthy person in the world. I mean, he literally does the bit from Spaceballs where it's like, yes, would I lie? And then he does the shifty eyes. Like, he literally does it. It is the most obvious.
But the thing that's pointing to me is that, like, a lot of the information on, like, the origins of this are, like, either there's no attribution made to, like, who said it, or it's buried on, like, a DVD commentary that, like, no one's really cared to, you know, properly transcribe. So from what I picked up, this is from a cursory, like, glance at Wikipedia and just kind of googling around, Fox are going to reboot the entire thing, like a brand new version with, like, same characters, but, like, you know, no ties to anything else. Like, clean slate reboot. That doesn't happen. Stars picks it up. Russell's like, it's not a reboot. It's a continuation, but we're just in America now. Apparently they want, like, 6 episodes, and then Stars are like, no, we want 13. And then they're like, fine, we'll do 10. And what happens is Russell's
words that were never once again spoken by a TV executive. Mm-hmm. We want more episodes.
Nowadays, like, we want 3, and you're lucky to get 3. But what happens is, from what I can tell, is that Russell's partner, obviously, you know, sadly passes away, but he gets ill, I think, around the time that they're working on this, so he has to step away for a while. So, like, ostensibly, Jaina Svensson, who comes into, like, later stuff, showruns it basically for him while he's, you know, taking a step back to help, you know, care for his partner. That's from what I can tell. Like I said, like, a lot of the stuff is kind of just based on, you know, picking things up from here and there, such as apparently Chad Michael Murray auditioned for Rex, which is interesting. And there's another thing.
I mean, you're saying, like, oh, this was buried in some a DVD commentary somewhere. Mm-hmm. This has not had a DVD release, as far as I can tell, according to the TARDIS wiki.
It has.
Well, do we know if there's?
It's part of the. Well, it's definitely part of, like, the series 1-4, like, big box set.
They just were like a big. Yeah. But is there anything? Yeah. Can you check?
I can check now. I have my hand right on it.
Okay, you check, because I'm going to get a glass of water.
Okay. This is where I tell you all about how the box for this collection is, like, really thick cardboard, so it's impossible to get the actual, like, DVD set out. There's audio commentaries. I sound like Oswald Thames. There's audio commentaries for episodes 1 and 10. There's the motion comic Web of Lies, which I forgot about. There's additional footage for episode 3. There's an FX special on this, which is interesting. So there is looking at the back of this is genuinely incredible, because you look at, like, the complete first series, and there's, like, a whole, like, paragraph of special features, and then the rest of them are just, like, one line of special features. It's crazy.
Is it just episodes 1 and 10?
Yeah, that get commentaries from Russell and Julie Gardner.
Damn.
Okay.
The fact you just told me that while he was writing this, he was also dealing with a partner who was, as we know, about to die, as a level of poignancy that it was immediately undercut by you saying, but he likely did not do a lot of work on this.
He has 2 credits on it, and I imagine he did a lot of work in the sense of, like, writer's room stuff. He was heavily involved, but, like, once they're in production, I'd say he probably kind of had to take a step back. The other thing is, like, there's contradictory info, because one, and this I do not believe whatsoever, because this is not how television works, as you well know. That the director of episode one apparently was meant to do the whole thing and then dropped out at the first episode, and they get people in to direct the rest, which is not how television works. That's not how television works.
Yeah. That.
So, but the thing I do believe, which I think is something that he himself has said, was that when there was a 13 episode version, the people working on it were him, Shayna Spencer, and Chris Chibnall. Chris Chibnall, obviously, he hadn't worked on Torchwood since series two. I can see that. I can see that being real. I can see that Kim being like, you know, Chris, do you want to come in and help us like figure this out? The other thing is that apparently PC Andy would have died in that one, in the 13th episode.
Nope. Cut and rejected. Throw it straight into the bin.
Well, the actions of PC Andy.
I counted how long it took for PC Andy to show up.
Yeah, but he's a Judas in this. He betrays them.
No, he's working from the inside. I see his vision. I see his vision.
You see the vision that he's seeing.
I just read a line that has set my mind aflame, which is there apparently is a pilot script for the U.S. version of Torchwood. And God, if you're listening, please, 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 please. I want to read that so much. Please, 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 I beg you. I'll do anything. Just please. I need to read that script. Please.
What's the American version of Wales?
I'm so curious, though. Like, what? Because, like, it kind of tracks that you're like, they went to America and they were like, let's do Torchwood a reboot. It does not track that anyone in America said yes, because I don't see anything in Torchwood that outside of the Doctor Who connection, which is already tenuous at best. What value is there in Torchwood as a property? It is the X-Files. Like, if you remove Doctor Who from it, it's just the X-Files. So I'm like, I don't understand how somebody was like, yeah, let's do like an American reboot of this. I also don't understand why they were like, yeah, let's do an American reboot of this. Like, what was the logic?
Well,
I need to fucking read Reddit's Tale, finally. Like,
I don't think they talk, I think they only talk briefly about it because I think it, in like the revised version, it's written as he's getting ready to move to America. So I don't know if there's a lot of info, but there is like a lot of obviously info before that. Do you want to know what stars were showing at the time that would have been like, you know, them being like, okay, we'll take on this sci-fi show. In terms of original programming and drama, they had the TV show based on the movie Crash. I don't know if people know that, like, the TV version of Crash, obviously Crash is the incredibly awful Best Picture winner, where Don
Cheadle. The movie was, known for the image, the face that Jack Nicholson made immediately upon announcing it.
Mm-hmm. And when Sandra Bullock falls downstairs and her falling downstairs turns her into a not racist person somehow. The TV version, do you know who's in the TV version of Crash? Like the two big stars. Where? Actually, there's three people, and one of them we'll talk about again. Dennis Hopper, Dana Ashbrook from Twin Peaks, Eric Roberts, Keith Carradine, Tom Sizemore from Twin Peaks Return, and also Arlene Tur, or Vera Juarez from Torture of Miracle Day. So that's going on. They also have Spartacus going on, which makes the decision to bring Torchwood in kind of weird. Party Down was going on. So they have all this, like, they have like some wow, whoopsie. They have that. but like, you know, they have all
The Crash TV show ran for two seasons. Holy shit. Yeah,
no one wanted to watch Crash. But people want to watch Miracle Day. So the New World, which is episode one, we're going to be combining episodes because there's not a lot to talk about themselves. I suppose we'll talk about episode one and episode two, but I'll differentiate them first. So episode one, The New World, which was actually the working title of Miracle Day, was broadcast in America on the 8th of July and the UK on the 14th of July. So they're waiting 6 days between episodes. The New World was directed by Barash Naluri, who his CV is very strange because he makes the movie Miss Pettigrew Lives for a Day with Frances McDormand and Amy Adams. I don't know if you've ever heard or seen of that one. It's kind of like the epitome of, to coin a phrase from the thing, this had Oscar buzz. The Crow Salvation, he directed that. And then he directed the pilot for The 100 on CW, so he's kind of like in that kind of sphere. And it's written by RTD. It's his first Who thing since End of Time. And then episode 2, which is Rendition, was broadcast on the 15th of July in the UK, 2011, I should say, and 21st of July in the UK. Sorry, 15th, you can tell I'm a little zonked. 15th of July in the US and 21st of July in the UK, directed by Billy Gearhart, who works on shows like Justified, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and The Shield, so he's a big kind of genre guy. And written by Doris Egan, who worked on shows like Early Edition, House, Numbers, and Black Sails. Okay. So I have, like, I said this before, I have sentences written out for each one of these, but the sentence is a paragraph because there's so much going on that, like, it just ends up being like a run-on sentence. So I might just kind of paint by shade, like shade in, you know? So like the main points are that like there's this guy, he's called Oswald Daines. He's a convicted pedophile and murderer. He's getting, I can't think of the word.
What's
the word?
Hang on. Let's retrace our steps. That always works.
The word? What's the word? How have I forgotten the word for this? Hang on.
Start the sentence up again.
I'm not even joking. I've forgotten the...
Start the sentence again.
I don't know the word.
You gotta start the sentence again. Otherwise,
okay, execute. I couldn't think of the word executed. I don't know how. Oswald Daines is getting executed for his crimes. He famously said when confronted with the facts of his case, because he killed he's a teacher and he killed one of the kids he was teaching and he assaulted her as well. He says she should have run faster. That's his famous thing. Rex Matheson, who's an FBI agent, is driving home from work, and all these other people around the world, they all get killed, but they don't die. Rex gets impaled by these pipes. Oswald gets lethal injected, but he doesn't die. And in the midst of all that, the name Torchwood rears its head again. There's this person called Esther Drummond, who's like an FBI desk person, and she comes across the name. Gwen and Reese are off living in isolation with their daughter. And Jack's kind of hanging out. He's just doing whatever he wants to do, you know. He's kind of chilling out. They all get drawn back to Wales. Esther and Rex drawn back to Wales because of the Torchwood connection. Jack realizes he can actually get hurt and is mortal now, and he heads back to Wales. Gwen and Reese go back to Wales because Gwen's dad, is sick to the heart attack. So Gwen, Jack, Reese, and Rex all converge on Gwen's house, and these armed guys come up on them in helicopters, and they fire a bazooka at them, and there's a whole big gunfight. They all meet on like the grounds of the former HQ, and then Rex is like, "I'm bringing you back to America," and they go on a flight, and basically, this sect in the CIA, this like kind of little hidden group led by Wayne Knight, train poison Jack on the flight home. They make an antidote for him. He's fine. They go on the run when they land on the ground because they realize everyone's out to get them still. And Oswald goes on TV. He's like, "I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have killed that person." This PR person called Jilly Kitzinger gives him her card and is like, "You know, call me." And yeah, that's the first two. And this brings me to the point I'm going to make, which is that...
Jesus Christ, oh my God, that was so much.
There's a real push and pull between old viewers who like know all this stuff and new viewers, and so much information going on that to me, it feels like they accidentally broadcast episode 3 as episode 1 or something, because it just, there's so much that it assumes that you will know.
What do you mean new viewers? I'm sorry.
They are trying. I'm sorry. They are trying.
They're not trying hard. I mean, I can see where they're trying. There literally feels like there's two shows in here. It feels like there's the British show and there's the American show. Because all the stuff with Bill Pullman, it just feels like a completely different story. And you're just like, and I know it's not going to be satisfying. I know it's not going to be satisfying when this brings together, because from the moment we introduced to him, and it's like, this is a convicted murderer and rapist, and I was like, all right, whatever situation this, and pedophile, whatever situation is being introduced right now, it will not be a magical buff Jack Harkness who fixes this. So you're immediately setting up a situation where, you know, it's again, it's like, it's the whole, like, why doesn't Doctor Who go to World War II? Because it's a fucking bummer. You know, like, it's a bummer. That's why you don't do it. It's not good TV. And I'm like, that's not going to be satisfying. And it just feels like he's in a completely different story.
Mm-hmm. And that's the problem, I think, with it. And I have, like, I've watched ahead. I know you haven't really watched ahead yet. They do. The problem with this series is that it gets really interesting when the titular team are not on screen. And when the titular team are on screen, it's just Glenn drags to a halt. And it's really awkward because, like, they do a really good job of shaking in, like, the edges of, you know, here's what's going on because of this miracle that's happened.
Yeah.
You know, all the logistics stuff, it's really interesting. And then you have to have a scene of, like, Reese going, like, come on, Gwen. And it's like, okay, I don't really need to see this man.
No,
again.
Gwen, don't go sit. Like, I'm the whole Reese conversation, I was like, guys, what are we talking about? Like, any person who thinks for 5 seconds about this is going to be like, what? No, this is the worst possible thing that could happen. We have to save it. Like, our daughter's going to live forever. Yeah, that is not good, though. Like, you know that. They're literally standing in front of a bunch of, like, overflow. And it's only been, like, a day. And I'm like, guys, we know where this is. And I feel like it's sort of... We can talk about the timeliness of this, but there's a lot of moments in this where people are like going, what will possibly happen to humanity? And it's like, what do you mean what will possibly happen? We know what will possibly happen. Like, we don't need to imagine what's going to happen if this goes on unimpeded. We know it will be bad. Like, and I'm like, how much is that of that is us looking at this from the perspective of, we ostensibly went through our miracle day because we had our big life world-changing situation. We saw what it is, what it would be like in real life. And that's why there's moments like when the doctor is like, we need to reconstruct our health system from the ground up. And it's like, yeah, that would not happen. You know, nobody would do that if miracle day really did happen. But yeah, there's the most interesting part of this is the part where they're like, what would this world react to if Miracle Day did come to pass? But this is not the perfect, like, the best vehicle for this would be the Twilight Zone, you know, or a short story where you can just be like, and then this happened, and then this happened, and that's the lesson of the story. But you can't, so you gotta, like, create all these characters. Who Rex absolutely changes his character from episode 1 to episode 2. He's a completely different person in episode 2. You got to introduce Jilly Kissinger, who might as well come and go like, whoa, 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 hello, I'm the devil. Like, like, literally, hello, I'm Satan. Like, I might as well do that. And then you have to, like, slowly bring... I have to admit, like, there's stuff that is interesting... I have to ding them points for making Rex do a complete character 180 from episode 1 to 2. But also, the Rex in episode 2 is much more interesting because they're being like, yeah, well, British people kind of hate Americans. There's a little bit of bad blood between these two nations, especially. because of rendition and all that shit. That's when it starts getting interesting, but then they immediately go, and no. Like, and there's a conspiracy, and there's a triangle. But instant Wait and I look at a triangle on the phone, I was like, no, no, no. We've been down this path before. I fucking hate conspiracy plots. The problem with a conspiracy plot is the outcome of your conspiracy can never be more interesting than the actual conspiracy. Because if it is, it's a boring conspiracy. You know, like that's why JFK is the perfect conspiracy, because the outcome is a guy died. And sure, there was like the like it changed the government and all that shit, whatever. But the actual outcome is a guy died. So you can be like, well, who did it? It's a fun conspiracy to talk about. COVID is not a fun conspiracy to talk about because the outcome was millions of people died, you know? Miracle Day as a conspiracy. I want to see the world reacting to Miracle Day. I don't really give a shit who made Miracle Day happen. So when they're like, oh, who made this happen? I'm like, I don't really care. Can Jack just, why doesn't Jack call the doctor? This is another one. I hate that I'm saying this, but this is one of those situations where I'm like, call him, call the doctor. Like, for real though, this is like, where is the doctor? This is a where is the doctor situation. Like, I feel like RTD was like, we need to create a situation that's like high stakes enough where a random American would be seeing this on Stars and want to watch it. But he forgot that, like, in this world that he's bringing over to America, there is like a guy whose job is to make sure shit like this doesn't happen. So I'm like, where is the doctor? Are they ever going to mention where the doctor is? No, right?
They don't, but I will say there is a point later on where the doctor is referenced by name directly and has his whole deal explained, and it's a point where I'm like, would you not then, like, would there not then be, like, a point where you could say in the actual show, oh, there's, like, a field around the Earth and nothing can get in and out or something like that, you know? I don't know.
Literally just go like, oh my god, so the doctor said we're alone. That would be a great moment to be like, hey, there's a magical guy who can solve our issues, which again is what Torchwood could do, because it can do that thing of like, what if we took these people and put them into the insane world of Doctor Who and don't have the ultimate magical fairy tale guy that is a doctor to save them at the end of the day. And they do that, and I'm like, but where, like, why don't they talk about him? Like, where is he? This is a big fucking deal. Where's UNIT, you know? Like, is UNIT not going to do anything?
Well, they mention UNIT, like, briefly in the first
episode. Do they?
They do. There's like, a brief mention of UNIT in, like, more or less, like, passing, I guess.
I completely missed it then. I'm sorry.
The thing I have is that, like, this is like, and there is obviously a reference to it, but like, this is a world where, like, a couple of years ago, like, kids were almost given to an alien, and like, no one seems to really. Well, I guess.
When they literally show the newspaper reports of the 5456, which is apparently the code number for the types of cases Torchwood would deal with, the moment they showed me that, I was like, well, From that moment, I'm like, you're not satisfying anyone. Because as a new viewer, I'm like, hold on a second. Has this happened before in this world? And as an old viewer, I'm like, this has happened before. Why are we acting like it hasn't? You know? Because not only is this, because if this is a reality where the 456 are real, happen, this is also the reality where the Daleks invaded and the Cybermen and all that shit. And they're not going to mention those guys. I know that. I know for a fact they're not going to fucking mention those guys. But I'm also like, it's so weird. Because we're also speaking from a world where if this story did happen today, they would never have Rex Matheson and what's her face? I'm sorry. The woman who, Esther, who gets drugged, and then, like, why does she get drugged? Why? It serves no purpose for her to get drugged because she continues her investigation. You know? It's not like she after then gets, like, approached by somebody. She's like, what are you talking about? She immediately continues her investigation unimpeded. So why drug her?
My thing, it's like trying to do, like, an inverse of the Gwen thing where, like, Gwen gets drugged and everything changes, obviously, and then, you know, she's trying to figure out, like, she writes down the word torture and stuff. But it's like, it feels like adding one wrinkle that isn't really necessary, because like by the next episode, like it's been kind of forgotten about. But it's like,
if you want to have somebody be like, what is Torchwood? You can't have Gwen.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have Gwen because if I'm a new viewer, be like, what is Torchwood? My immediate second question is, why do we keep cutting back to this random Welsh lady with a baby? Like, you're asking me to care about what this thing is, and then you're asking me to care about this lady who supposedly had something to do with this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's too much. You're already like, you lost me. You lost me from day one.
My thing is that I think it would work way better if Gwen doesn't show up until like episode 8. And
right.
It's like a whole thing, like she comes in to help them out, and then it's like, oh, you know, I've been trying to do this, and like you've dragged me back into it away from my kid, and like I'm like in trouble now because of you and all this stuff. Whereas like having her in here, this goes like, who is this lady and this weird guy, and where are they friends with this police officer who is a Judas to his friend?
You almost have, because the funny thing is, I came to the same conclusion, but from the opposite way. I was, the whole time I was watching, I kind of want to see a version where you never cut to America, because the way Gwen's story is structured is really interesting. She doesn't know about Miracle Day. She only finds out about it like towards the end of the first episode, right? Mm-hmm. When PC Andy calls her to be like, hey, your dad is in the hospital, that's when she finds out. And I'm like, oh, a version of the story where we're with Gwen the whole time, and then we find out about Miracle Day, and then she's like, wait, this is like huge, I gotta do something. And then like Jack literally, and then this guy stumbles onto like her front yard, bloodied. I feel like that's good, like a much more interesting introduction into this story. To the point where I was like, maybe I kind of want to see a version of this where you don't cut to America, where you stay in that fucking plane. That I think that entire sequence in the plane in the second episode was really fun, because it is that, again, it's that thing Torchwood does well, which is, let's take a Doctor Who-ish sequence of, we have a problem and we can solve it with science, but we don't have the magical gift of the Doctor in the scene, so how do we solve it, you know? I'm like, yeah, that was a fun sequence. That entire sequence with the antidote, implausible, sure, but much more fun than other things in the episode. And it is fun because they commit. They don't keep cutting back and forth from one perspective to another. It's entirely in the plane. And that's, I think, the secret.
And you have, like, Finn Wittrock playing, like... The Finn Wittrock's character, I mean, like the second episode where I think it's fun, and it's also coincidentally the first episode of any kind of Who thing written and directed by Americans, which I thought was interesting. Finn Wittrock's character is part of that whole second episode feeling to me like the most opera by aliens, by humans kind of episode they've ever done, because it just like it feels like farce, but farce written by people who have never met people. And like, I kind of dig it.
The word you're looking for is the CW. That's the word you're looking for. It's CW. And here's the thing though. Right now in 2025, I really do miss the CW. So this episode 2 was a moment where it hit cruising altitude for me, where I'm like, this is interesting enough that I'm actively paying attention to it, but it is bad enough that I can't possibly like engage with it that much. But also it's not that bad where I'm like actively annoyed. So it literally is cruising altitude where I'm like, every once in a while something happens that perks my attention. And then I go like, oh, this is stupid. Oh, but this is fun. Oh, but this is stupid. Oh, but this is fun. And it's just over and over and over.
It's just, yeah, it's... The whole thing is that, like, I think one of the mistakes that they make is that there's no, like, real clear sense of how long they've been working along the thing between the two episodes, which I think is a problem, because, like, the sequence where Rex is going to England is really, really strangely put together, because
it gives the impression that he's been in a 8-hour long phone call, which I know is not what they're going. It, the idea is that he's putting his phone down, doing the work, then picking his phone back up. Mm-hmm. But the way they cut it makes it seem like he's literally in the same phone call guzzling down pills, mm-hmm. which is a level of insanity that I'm like, if after that scene, I remember just being like, oh my God, that's the part that made me go, oh yeah, it does feel like 15 episodes got cramped into 10.
Mm. Like, I don't know, I do want to get on to some of the new characters in a second, because there's one I think we really have to talk about, but like, there's so much stuff in the minutia, like the whole thing of the scene where Esther finds Jack, and then the assassin guy shows up and he reveals his bomb vest. That I think that's like a funny kind of thing. But then the thing of like the guy is burnt to a crisp, but he's still alive and he can still I think that's the kind of thing. And like later episodes will do that kind of thing. I can tell you that now. They'll do like the kind of like, you know, okay, this thing happens, but what is the ramification of like if you can't die and you get like, you know, incinerated, or you get like, you know, really badly injured, what is the protocol now that we can't, you know, die? And that, like, when it does that kind of like microscopic kind of thing, I really like it. I kind of, part of me wishes that it was like this is a really weird comparison to make. If it was like Twin Peaks Return, in that like it had this like central thing, but they were doing like kind of vignettes of like, you know, and this is happening in this place, and this is happening in that place as a result of this thing. Where like they're able to like spread their wings out a bit more and be like, you know, we're going to take our time. Obviously, Twin Peaks Return is like a thing made by someone who is operating on a level above like like television itself. Whereas mm-hmm. this is being made by people who are working to a star's budget on a deadline. But I really like that kind of stuff. I really like that kind of minutia kind of thing. I want to talk about, I think it's time to talk about Oswald, because he plays into something as well, because there's so much of this, like you were saying, like there's so much of this that does feel in a real world context. Now there's bits where I'm like, and one thing is Oswald, because to be back in 2011 and to be like, Americans will never warm up to, you know, a convicted criminal rapist, pedophile.
Well,
they'll never give him the time of day. The media will never be soft on him, you know, and to see this. And also, we'll say Pullman is doing kind of like Trumpy work at times, the hand gestures.
Well,
the
way, what voice is he doing? Yeah, but what voice is he doing? Because there's no way he's doing Trump, because it's 2011.
Yeah,
but he sounds like him.
That thing, his voice recently, I don't know if it's like something, like if it's just age or something, his voice has gotten really raspy compared to where it used to be. But he's clearly like doing an effect. Like, there's so many weird things. Like,
hold up. Let me hear what he sounds like in a video from 9 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yes. So he's got,
he
has
does
gotten really,
sound like yeah. that. Yeah.
But the thing
he
is,
he sounds like, graspy. Like,
the thing is, like, he's doing in like the first episode, he is doing a character because he's like really doddery. He's really kind of like confused. He's really kind of, you know, shifty and stuff. And then he starts kind of like changing a little bit. Like, he's kind of just kind of, I don't know, like he's doing like hand gestures, going like, you know, it's really hard, you know, to do all this kind of stuff. You know, it's really hard. Sometimes you die, you know, and the guy over there wants to kill me. There's the scene I mentioned before elsewhere, which is that the scene between Pullman doing his weird, like, you know, more or less like Hannibal Lecter kind of, you know, oh, well, you know, whatever. And his lawyer, who's doing like a Kevin Spacey kind of, like, you know, kind of thing, after he's like the execution's happened and he's survived, is one of the strangest scenes I've ever seen. And it's topped only by the scene in episode 2 where he's getting craft service food and it cuts to like 15 different angles in 2 seconds. And he's going on about, like, you know, I need to eat this food too. And that guy wants to kill me. It's like the stuff with him in these episodes is tonally bizarre. It's really, really strange. He's doing like a really, really strange performance that I think I actually kind of love. I think he's like really locked into like an idea of what this character is and what this like show is that like other characters maybe aren't locked into. And I think he like he does a really good job of just standing out in a way where, you know, he's playing like an absolutely heinous, reprehensible character who is just like the worst of the worst, but he's like incredibly watchable in a way that I think helps the material work in a way. And also means that when they cut away from him, I'm like, I kind of want to go back and see, you know, what this character is doing within this world rather than having to see, you know, Reese talk about, I don't know, chips or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I want to know like where you stand on the Pullman performance, because I know it's very kind of like, it's kind of, it seems to be something that people are kind of mixed on.
I want to see where this is going. It does smack of aiming above your weight.
Mm-hmm.
To be like, this is this is like the worst possible person, and this is the first person who survives to take advantage of Miracle Day. I get what they're doing. This is not a subtle show.
Mm-hmm.
I can sort of guess where this is going, but I kind of want to wait to pass judgment until I see where this is going. I will say, like most media critiques of the 2010s.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not looking forward to watching where this is going. It's a lot like watching. It's a lot like reading a book from the 50s or someone being like, "What if there was an internet that could connect people forever and it would never be bad ever?" And you're like, "Yeah, you don't know what you're talking about."
Mm-hmm. Like the one thing that really dates it is they say social network sites instead of
social networks. Yeah, they make a point of being like, They highlight that somebody tweeted about something that mm-hmm. need more antibiotics, which was so funny. That's how they found out. Like, again, there's a lot of things where I get it. I get why they're putting it together like this, because mm-hmm. it's a TV show. I understand, but I'm also like, did no one? Why did it take you guys a day to be like, oh no, we should stop giving people antibiotics? I almost feel like. I almost want there to be an episode of the TV show The Pit set within this. The Pit is really good, by the way. Please watch The Pit. It's a fun TV show. Mm-hmm. But again, it just goes back to what we were talking about, where it's like, I just want to see this world react to Miracle Day. Mm-hmm. And then I want Jag Harkness to come in 40 minutes later and be like, and I fixed it. And now everything's okay, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I just want to see... I feel like there's 45 minutes of cool world building in this TV show spread over 10 episodes, and I just want to see the 45 minutes of cool world building.
Mm-hmm. The some cool world building includes them watching a YouTube poop of Oswald Dainstein.
Yeah, which I'm like, how did they get the footage?
I know, but it is kind of funny just that they're watching this like literal YouTube poop and be like, haha, and then they're like, don't laugh.
But you remember the thing. That like TV shows back in this time, they thought that YouTube poops were like, they misunderstood this and how much of other two complete misunderstandings of YouTube poops. First of all, they did not go, that's not how they used to go viral.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's too, both, they always have like this very personal moment of someone getting like turned into a joke and all that. It's like, not saying that it wouldn't happen, but also, it was almost always news clips for a reason. Like it was people doing these innocuous things. Hide your kids, hide your wife. You know, it wasn't mm-hmm. like specifically someone dying of lethal injection. Like that mm-hmm. would not go viral on YouTube. It would go viral on whatever the fuck the name of that website where you watch people getting beheaded is. Mm-hmm. I don't remember.
H-John, whatever it's called. The other thing about world building is that, and this is just a personal thing, if Miracle Day happened, I would not go back to my job. I would be like, I'm not going back to work. I'm sorry. Like, look, you know what? People can't die anymore. This is weird. I'm not going to like log in from like my barista job from 9 yeah. till whatever. Like, I'm staying home. You can, you know, the world doesn't really mean anything anymore. I don't know. There's a lot of because it's obviously like,
but also yeah. they make a point of emphasizing that you still age and you still get hurt, which means you still get hungry. But yeah, it's like, it's a fascinating idea. It's like the most beautiful stage for the weirdest play in the world, you know, like someone is putting on a weird play in the middle of a grand, beautifully decorated stage. And you just want to keep looking at the background details, but every once in a while, someone jumps in and goes, ah, and shakes and waves their arms in front of you like, nope, stop. Look at me. Don't read the background. Look at me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I guess I have to, if I must.
Mm-hmm. There's a couple of things. Like, I think one, it's very funny that they all meet at the old Torchwood site solely, so they can be like, we went to the site and the show. You know, fans, don't worry. We went to Roald Dahl Palace. You know, here's the big waterfall. You won't see it again because the base blew up last time. So, you know.
Well, they did say that they rebuilt it. They did mention it.
But they're like, it's like the one time they ever go to that place, and it's like, okay. Also, nowadays you have like Alex Jones types being like, you know, the Miracle made our kids gay. You know, that's what's going on with the Miracle. It's a fake thing that's made our kids gay.
You know for a fact that Alex Jones were like, the Miracle isn't real. I'm going to shoot myself in the head. Prove it.
Mm-hmm.
Bang.
Bang. The other thing as well is that Dyson Lachman's character in the second episode, I think, the bit where Rex breaks her neck, and her head is backwards and she's walking around, is one of both, like, it's the kind of goofy image that's both terrifying and incredibly funny. Like, the way like they all react like, oh, okay. And then there's like, just drive. I don't really care. Like, I can't deal with this right now. There's morphic fields. All of them work morphic field. When there's a mention of Oprah, you know, there's a mention of Oprah.
Yeah.
And like, obviously, PC.
I'm like, Oprah would not have this guy because he is a convicted pedophile. Remember,
he'd be on like Newsmax or.
That's what I'm like. Yeah, my lawyers are gonna sue you because of the Fifth and the Eighth Amendment, and they're like, oh, a charity raised money, like I get him out. I'm like, no. That's not happening. That man is not stepping foot out of that prison, and if he is dying within a minute, and the police are gonna pretend they're not seeing it. Like, that's not how this works. But you know what? That's fine.
It's fine because Starvis put PC Andy on TV in America, and we can all be grateful for that. Yeah, I don't know. There's so much. And we talked about Wayne Knight before, but it's very funny that Wayne Knight is in this. It's very funny that Wayne Knight is in the Doctor Who universe. And also
he's the FBI chief.
CIA chief. And also...
CIA chief.
Two other things that it's funny that he's in a Star is produced Doctor Who spin-off. And also, and we said this before as well, the scene... It's so funny that scene that, like, Esther... And there's like... you haven't seen this, but like in later episodes, Esther just like straight up says to Jack, do you think I'm stupid? And Jack's like, no, I don't. But like, he is so clearly evil in the scene with Esther where he's like, and you've told no one else that you're closely working with this one guy. And I'm going to emphasize every single word so you know I'm trying to make sure that my ass is covered. And she's like, no. I've told no one else. No.
This thing you don't want anyone to know? Yeah, I didn't tell anyone about it.
And he's like, yes, okay, I'll text.
I'll take care of it. Wink. Why did you wink, sir? Oh, just a tick.
Now, let me get my triangle phone and text someone to take out Jack. But yeah, it's just... It's two strange episodes. I'm drawn more to what comes after this because it shifts into a new gear. But like, I think as an introduction, it's a bit awkward. It's a bit stilted. I do think it's trying to introduce new people, but it's also trying too hard to like keep old viewers in mind, I think. And at that point, it just feels like everything comes crashing together and it doesn't really fit into the package they're offering. But I do think it's interesting, and I think it's good, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, I don't know.
I'm excited to see where this goes.
There is, speaking of where things go, there is one more thing we'll talk about, and you and I have talked about this before. The next time trailers for all these episodes are insane.
Do not watch these. If you're watching this with us, do not watch these, because the first one just straight up gives you the plot of the entire second episode. And I was like, okay, then I got to skip the rest.
They do that for, like, it's not even that, like, they do that for every episode, but like, they're also really poorly edited. So like, there's no flow. It's just like random clips they throw together of like next episode. And then it's like Torchwood. And it's like, okay, well, you didn't have to include these if you're not going to like do these in a way that isn't just kind of thrown together. But yeah,
I will say before we go, there is one last thing I want to mention, which is I love the idea that these two would not know that you can just walk out of an airport after you go through. Like they're like, what do we go? Where do that's like, what are you talking about? Just get out of the airport. That's how the airport is in Britain too. Mm-hmm. Also, Jack is American. He would know this. That's in no conceivable level would they be like, what? Where do we go?
Mm-hmm. Like I said, though. As Finn Whitrock says, I knew diabetes would be useful someday.
I knew diabetes would one day. Yeah, I always say that to myself.
Mm-hmm. His character is, I mean, it is the kind of classic torture thing of like guy that they all like. It's a kind of a classic torture. It's a classic TV gag of like, you know, guy everyone pegs as being gay, and he's like, no, I'm not gay, and then he's like, it was one time.
I am. Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's a trope. I don't know. That's days one and two. Days three and four to come. Miracle Day, miracle.
It's not days night. One and two. It's episodes one and two.
Well, it's the new world and rendition. Talk about there's some very strange episode titles to come. For sure. But yeah. Miracle, good night.
Bye.